Hope is a confident expectation of fulfillment that changes the way we live. In Christ, there is trustworthy hope. I'm Brian Patrick. We're continuing our series on the marks of the true Christian based on Romans 12. Rejoice in hope, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on Rejoice in Hope, part of the series on the marks of the true Christian. Here's our Crossing the Goal team back together again to serve you. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, founder and president of Focus, Curtis Martin, and the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Rejoice in hope. You know, St. Paul was so adamant about rejoicing that he actually repeated himself in Philippians 4 when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Danny, I think that means we should rejoice, huh?
Absolutely. Always, huh? Always.
Especially rejoice. In hope.
You know, it's interesting. Pope Benedict XVI said in Spe Salve, "In the scriptures, it seems as though faith and hope are interchangeable. Faith is the substance of our life, you know. And also, with true faith, we have hope for what? Eternal salvation."
Absolutely.
No, in the absence of hope and joy is the spiritual disease of our culture. We have to recognize, why do we have that? Because we live in a broken world. You never get all that you want here and now. And so we have to live in hope that God has something great waiting for us. And because of that, we can navigate a broken world with a sense of joy. God wants us to enjoy ourselves even in the midst of a broken world.
Yeah. And for the Christian, it's very clear when Paul says, rejoice in hope. Because hope, our hope is the reason we rejoice. Because our hope is a person, Jesus Christ, glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And our future we can see in the glorified humanity of Jesus Christ. And when we're down, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we see our destiny and we can hope for our future.
Amen.
That's right.
All right, then.
Well, maybe your life feels a little hopeless right now. We have a game plan for you to rejoice in hope. Peter and Curtis have the game plan next on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and our theme is coming from Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoice in the hope. And so when we talk about rejoicing in hope, we first of all need to look at, what is joy? So how do we describe joy? What are we talking about?
Well, joy is that deep contentment, happiness that comes from the confident understanding of the destiny of our life, where it comes from. Joy will flow from the knowledge of where my life is headed, that my life, my future is secure and it's assured. I have a future that will not disappoint. Where hope comes in is right there.
And the power of that is to be able to see that in joy, what we're able to do, natural happiness is from our circumstances that are immediately around us. And we live in a broken world.
Yeah.
So those circumstances are insecure at best and troublesome frequently. And to be able to sit back and say, joy comes from a deeper sense, as you said, that we know where we're going. The power of that is that we can then endure suffering and still have a deep sense of joy, even in the midst of suffering, not despite it. And that's so important, because in this life, we're going to confront suffering. There's no way around it.
Yeah, you see it again and again in the scripture. Peter says, we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Then he goes on at the end of that passage and says, you've never seen him, but you love him, and that love that's produced in you in faith and knowing Jesus Christ fills you with unutterable and exalted joy. He was talking to a community of people who are living under trial and great persecution. Paul says at another point, he said, I've learned the secret of contentment. I know now in any circumstance in life, whether I'm abased or whether I'm abounding, I know the secret of contentment. In him who's the source of my strength, I have strength for everything. And at the heart of it, Curtis, what we see is, you see, joy is a gift of the Holy, or fruit of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. something the Holy Spirit produces in us. But it produces in it because it comes out of faith. And the faith the Holy Spirit gives us is knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And hope is the confidence that what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ, His death, resurrection, His ascension into glory, living at the right hand of the Father in power and glory, the future of humanity, the new creation, the new Adam is Jesus Christ. Faith tells me what I see in Jesus is my destiny. I'm going to share in His glory as Our Lady has been glorified now, Queen of Heaven and Earth. She's the first disciple who's inherited what's coming for us. And it's a sure hope because it's the King who promises it, right? And it will never disappoint us because He's the one with the power to deliver us all the way home.
No, look at the titles of Our Lady. She's the cause of our joy. She's the seat, hope of wisdom, to be able to recognize because she's the first human fruit of Jesus' work. Yeah. She is the first one to participate, which is, again, another down payment saying, Peter, trust in me. Curtis, trust in me. When things are tough and they're going to get tough, you can trust in me. You can have a confident expectation that I will be here in a certain sense that we don't have to rely on our own efforts and our own moral or physical strength, but rather we're being carried. Yes, we have to remain faithful, but as we remain faithful, He's the one that carries us into salvation through a broken world.
Yeah. When we keep our eyes on hope, which is what Paul is essentially saying here, the Pope Benedict XVI said, the one who hopes lives differently. That's what Paul was saying when he says, I know now the secret. No matter, even if my life isn't working out how I want it to, there's something deeper in me. I know my life has purpose. I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. And I know where I'm going. And it's a sure thing. It's a sure bet because He's faithful.
You know, another part of this is not just the troubles outside of us that can come to us. I mean, we deal with disease and death, but also personal sin. And one of my favorite passages comes from the Psalm 51, where David says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And this is, but the Psalm itself is a Psalm of repentance. This is after David has fallen into deep sin and he's grieved that he has turned his back on God, that he's let himself down, let his nation down. And all of a sudden to sit back and say, I'm coming back to you, Lord, please forgive me. And not just forgive me, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation, because being with you, Lord, brings me great pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the characteristic of a healthy Catholic, a healthy Christian, is to live with the joy that comes from the knowledge that I have been saved. I'm being saved. I'm in the process of being brought home into communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's God's grace. It's for me. And it's not, and my sin doesn't get in the way unless, I mean, if I confess my sin, God forgives me, and I continue on that road. So it's important. Sometimes when we sin or when we fail, we get discouraged. We focus on ourselves. We think God hates us. God wants to distance Himself from us in some kind of way. And we need to understand that He's merciful. He calls us back to repentance, to forgiveness, because He wants to restore to us the knowledge and the confidence that we're being saved.
No, and you're showing a strong biblical teaching that sometimes is neglected by our evangelical brothers and sisters. They talk about, have you been saved? Yeah. And that's certainly true, but the biblical teaching about salvation is both all three tenses. Have you been saved? You are being saved, and I will be saved. Yeah. And it's living in that process that allows us to rejoice in the truth. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Great game plan. Coach, I just hope they save something for the red zone.
I hope they hold up their end of the bargain.
Yep, we're headed to the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Let's go. In the red zone now, talking about rejoice in hope in our series on Marks of a True Christian. And Coach, we have a beautiful Catholic prayer called the Act of Hope.
Yeah, let's get started with this. Oh my God, relying on your almighty power and infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon for my sins, the help of your grace, and life everlasting through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer.
Amen.
You know, when I was growing up, I had a strong faith. Consequently, I had joy and hope. And then as life progressed on and I started having some success out in the secular world, I start going my way, faith wading away a little bit, with it, false hope, false joy, mm-hmm. consequently, almost to the point of really depression.
You lost
and
hope.
Lost hope.
Despair. Yeah,
despair
right
did not like myself, or in fact, hated myself. And then through some other brothers leading me back mm-hmm. to Christ and my conversion experience, strengthening hope, what happened? Joy, hope came into my life in a stronger way than even before.
You know, you begin with by reading that prayer, the act of hope. And what I love about being Catholic is those classic prayers do two things. When you pray them, they're a prayer, but they also form our own understanding. There's a principle in the church that says the law of prayer is the law of belief, that we actually, the way we pray actually reflects what we believe. And the act of hope is great because what it does is it says, I do hope. Not in my own efforts. Mm-hmm. I hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which is now being brought to completion in me through His efforts. And so what I need to do is play ball. I need to be engaged and stay loyal to Him, and He will continue to save me.
Exactly.
That's a really good point, and to cooperate with the work that He's doing in us, which is what it's all about. Yes. I think we get the wrong idea. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to live with joy. And really, happiness and joy, Curtis and I were talking about, joy in particular, it's a byproduct. You know, it's the result of the hope. It's the result of what God is doing in us. It's a result of what God's accomplished for us, the unchanging truth of what He's done and what He's giving me for my life. And when the Holy Spirit helps me see it more deeply and apply it to my life, and I start to believe it, this is really my destiny. You know, this is really where I'm going. The Lord really has done this for me. Then joy begins to surface in us, and the Holy Spirit creates it in us, is really what happens.
Do you guys agree that sometimes our church doesn't look very joyful?
Really?
Yeah, I agree.
No, and what's interesting about sometimes, it, you mentioned that a byproduct, another word for that, is fruit. In fact, it's one the Bible uses, that the joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And we always like to tell the college students, you know, you don't get apples by walking up to an apple tree and tickling the leaves. That's not how it works. Actually, healthy apple trees produce apples. Yeah. And so you work the roots. You make sure that the tree is taken care of. And it's the same thing in our own life. You don't get happiness, which is a fleeting form of joy, by pursuing it. Yeah. You work living in right relationship with God, and when you're in right relationship with God, guess what? You become joyful.
Yeah, you pursue God rather than pursue joy. Pursue God
and get joy.
And joy will come.
Pursue joy, and without God, you get neither.
Look at the lives of the saints.
Yeah.
I was going to carry on with the point you made about the church sometimes does not portray joy to the people out there.
Yeah.
But I could say in my parish, and you're right about that, and that comes from the priest a lot of times. I said, take for instance our parish, St. Giles in Oak Park, Father Carl, he has joy. He has, you can tell when he says Mass or whatever he does, you can see a smile on his face, a bounce to his step, and consequently, he makes the people out here feel joy and peace and hope in their life. I told him when we were joining the parish, he says, what made you and your wife join? Because we just recently moved there. I said, Father, it was you. The way you said Mass, the way you greeted people. Plus, the people came up and greeted us and made us feel welcome. Yeah. And the joy and hope came. That's what we need in our parishes. You're right. We need to, if we really believe this, then we need to portray it in our life with a smile on our face that will bounce our step.
I think Paul's line from Philippians 4 that we were talking about, where he said, "I've learned rejoice in the Lord." Also, this I've learned the secret of contentment, because I think there's people who are listening to say, "Look, the last couple of years, the circumstances of my life are really tough.
Right.
Lost my retirement, you know, I lost my job, you know, we got divorce in the family, sickness, whatever it is, and these circumstances seem unbearable, and the joy just seems phony." You know, I mean, come on, man. What can I really hope in? I mean, how would you answer guys like that?
Don't you think, though, is the lack of faith has created? What's happened is, you know, there's going to be lost jobs. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations in our life. But there's no reason to lose hope. I think with the lack of faith out here, that we are losing hope. and becoming depressed and stuff. They see no future. What is the future? You mean the future is based on what we have here on earth?
Yeah.
That's not our hope.
The point you're making is to say, we didn't have a future to begin with. Paul says you live without hope in the world because you're dead in your sins.
Right.
That's the big issue in our life, the sin problem and the death problem. Jesus has dealt with that, and he's our hope. We have a relationship with him. Nothing will take that away from us. A personal relationship. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So if the circumstances change, it makes life a little bit tougher, but the fundamental thing about my life never changes.
Yeah, no, I there was a funny story. Maybe you've heard this in a homily. I know I've heard it in different settings, but you have somebody who lives across the street from a church, and the priest asked them one day, why have you never become Catholic? And they said, well, I lived across the street from the church for 20 years, and for 20 years I watched people go into the church, and an hour later they come out of the church, and they don't seem to be very much different. And I remember a friend of ours who's a mother of 10 said, if you realize what I've been through in the last hour, to come out no different is a miracle.
That's on the plus side.
But I think that's a microcosm of life, to realize life is beating us down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be able to be no different, to be able to have a sense of I'm still in, even after going through that, actually is progress.
Yeah.
Because without that, we walk through life deeply discouraged and with an absence of it.
Yeah.
And so there's a great sense of Christ meets us where we are and draws us into a more meaningful life.
Yeah, and if we just look at the saints, especially the martyrs, the joy that they went to their martyrdom. I think of St. Lawrence, who they were burning on the grill, and he said, I think I'm done on this side. You can turn me over now, you know? And he was joking, but he was, because he was hopeful and joyful in
and
the Lord.
We have to have that out here in this world. You know, the same thing, that we are going to face trials. Whether we have Christ in our life or not in our life, it's still going to be difficult at times.
Yep.
But with Christ in our life, we have that hope, Peter, that we talked about earlier.
We can make a difference. We think about Colby, you know, the ultimate kind of symbol. There he is. He's put in this prison cell in hell, basically, you know, in this dark pit with these others, 9 or 10 people who were with him. And the Nazis were going to just humiliate, crush them, lead them to despair. Hopefully, the point they lose their minds, they cannibalize each other. They try to create a living hell. And in that darkness was someone who was filled with the light of hope, the hope of God's glory. And he evangelized them all. Instead of hearing insanity and screams and craziness coming out of the cell, what comes out of it? They're worshiping God. They're worshiping. In the worst circumstances imaginable, they're experiencing peace, joy, contentment, because that brother believed. He believed the Lord in his promises.
And that means a lot to me, because this past July, my wife and I went to Auschwitz
and
went to his cell and say, you try to put your mind into how this man did that. He had to have Christ in his life, and then he got those other people to have hope in a hopeless situation.
And we're not going through Auschwitz, but we are going through
exactly.
probably the most intense persecution of the Catholic Church in our lifetime, right now in our culture. And to remember that we should have that same attitude of Colby. We should have joy in the midst of suffering. Don't allow this to get us angry. Allow it to or be angry without sin. Don't let it get us depressed, because what we want to do is recognize we need to live with intensity. I mean, Colby was intense. What he did, I mean, it literally changed the lives of every person in that room and shocked the troops who were trying to murder him.
Yeah.
All right, let's come full circle. We started by reading the Act of Hope. Coach, would you pray it with us
pray.
Now?
Everyone out there, just bow your head and close your eyes and just listen to the Lord speak to us.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Spirit, amen. Oh, my God, relying on your almighty power and infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon for my sins, the help of your grace, and life everlasting through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice in hope. We'll get the last word from each of our team members here on Crossing the Goal next in the End Zone. Now on our show on Rejoice in Hope, part of our series on Marks of the True Christian. Before these guys get the last word on Rejoice in Hope, we go to our email bag to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Chris, who is a convert from the Baptist faith, writes, I just finished watching the first program in the Becoming Disciples series called Knowing Jesus. I heard you say I have to actively engage, then Jesus will lead my life. You said you wanted to know that I made the decision and that you'd support me. He says, I just wanted you to know that I have.
We're proud of you, and because the first thing that you did, you decided to make a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Once you did that, you took the first step, then he leads you along the path.
Good stuff, Chris. I'm gonna take your email and we're gonna send you a note, get your address. We wanna send you out some of our books to give you the kind of support you need to keep running the race.
Because we do wanna support you in your walk with Christ. We're very excited that you've made that decision. Thanks.
And for the rest of you guys that are out there, maybe on the fence right now, perhaps that will give you the incentive to jump off and jump in. All right, let's get the last word on rejoice and hope. Let's start with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. Very soon, Paul says rejoice in hope and rejoice in the Lord always. There's a bit of a command there from Paul because he wants us to understand that we need to make a decision to step out and to acknowledge the fact that we have a great deal to hope in because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's make a decision, no matter how we feel, to make that response to Paul's call for us.
And as we mentioned in the show, really that's an issue of a firm, deep conviction based in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the source of our hope, to know that we are in a relationship with the God who has conquered the world. In the world, we're going to find tribulation, but we can take courage because Jesus Christ has overcome the world.
Just like Curtis just said, that the relationship with Jesus Christ. And plus, you get up every day, guys, you got to make a commitment. What do you want to do? Do you want to have a positive attitude or a negative attitude? I choose the positive attitude. The world out here gives you so much negative stuff, and consequently, you'll eventually lose hope if you listen to that. But if you follow Jesus Christ and his teachings, you will have hope in your life.
By the way, you guys look great in those workouts with the Crossing the Goal logo. I do have my Crossing the Goal logo on, too. It just gets covered once in a while. If you would like to have some apparel, a hat, shirt, even perhaps a coffee mug with the Crossing the Goal logo, they're there for you at crossingthegoal.com. You can check it out. And of course, we have resources. I know that a lot of people use our DVDs of our shows that are available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. They use them for small groups, and we encourage guys to get into small groups. And can't they download the questions for the group?
Yeah, they can. They go on the website and just download the questions free. And use them either individually or in a group setting.
Great resources at crossingthegoal.com. We also want to say and salute our friends who are watching on the American Forces Network all across the world, men and women of the military serving our country. So next week on Crossing the Goal, patience in tribulation. For Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, and Coach Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. We look forward to seeing you then on Crossing the Goal.